Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. May the Lord of all glory and grace bless you once again today as we receive the very Word of God into our hearts and as God speaks to us and teaches us and imparts His powerful grace to us through the Word of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit. My friends, we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 5 today. Please turn there with me in your Bibles as you are able to. You can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. We're continuing this morning to talk about the evil of immorality with the intention of learning about it so that we can see the reality of it and the great evil that immorality is, the sin of fornication, the Greek word porneia, descriptive of all illicit or forbidden sexual activity. And in doing so, we will see this evil for the great evil that it is, and therefore we will hate it better and turn more fully from it. Praise the Lord. We will appreciate the Holy God and His marvelous grace as we see the darkness, the wickedness, and the evil, and the consequence, the judgment that is sure and certain upon the adulterer and the fornicator. And so, my friends, we are helped to walk in holiness with God as we see the evil of this sin. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray again simply for understanding and for grace from your word and for clear direction and teaching and then for empowerment by your gracious word and by your spirit that we will not sin in our hearts in these ways and that we will turn from all sinful words and actions in this respect of immorality. Have your glory and purify us through this time, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, again, Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Last Lord's Day, we took another look at Ezekiel chapter 23 and saw there that God, in poetic and symbolic language, describes the abomination, the sinful immorality, the actual harlotry of His people. He calls the northern kingdom of Israel a harlot. He calls the southern kingdom of Judah a harlot. And he describes them as two sisters who have gotten into this great evil of prostitution, and the consequence for this great evil before God is His sure and painful judgment upon them, which indeed took place. And so God's own Spirit, His very own word to us, you see, is bringing to us this picture of sexual immorality, and in this description of sexual immorality in this symbolic fashion, we see the great evil of it, my friends. It is a sin that must be turned from. We must commit to purity in the sexual aspect of our lives, and we must maintain purity in the sexual aspect of our lives. And so, just a few brief comments this morning about this issue of the sin of harlotry or prostitution. This is a sin in which men and women are both involved, of course. It is a sin that condemns the man who takes part in it, and it is a sin that condemns the woman who takes part in it. Sadly, we live in a time when there are male prostitutes that men use or female prostitutes that women use. And, of course, in that sin, that greatly aggravated evil, God is sure to punish those who engage in this type of harlotry. And so the immorality that is committed in Ezekiel chapter 23 brought shame and alienation, a painful judgment upon those who practice this sin. My friends, that's always the consequence of immorality. immorality in relationships are simply not sustainable usually. It is very rare that we see that there is an immoral relationship that is maintained for some length of time. The very nature of an immoral relationship is that it is unstable. It is a shameful relationship. And though people who enter into immoral relationships may be slow to actually come to the awareness of the shame, or slow to confess it, or really begin to understand it, to speak about it and to call it for what it is, a shameful relationship, yet nevertheless, in their hearts, there is this understanding that immorality is shameful. And immorality does not bring one into real intimacy, but immorality brings alienation and causes pain. And so it is that we see in Ezekiel 23 that that's exactly what God says, that the immoral sisters, the harlots, become alienated first from their lovers, and then because of their sinfulness, they are alienated from God. And so, my friends, we thank the God of all grace that though we were people who had pleasure in unrighteousness, as 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verses 11 and 12 says that the unbeliever is the wicked are caught, and they are people who take pleasure in unrighteousness. Though we were like that and we lived that way, now that the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ has come to us, we know that there is absolute and perfect forgiveness for our every evil thought and desire and intention, our every evil imagination, action, and word. And so God has forgiven us completely of all of our immorality, the immorality of our hearts, the immorality that we have committed in our words, the immorality we have committed in our actions. He has forgiven us. The great salvation of God has reached us to the very depths of our being. And I am often encouraged these days by this wonderful thought. I have written it in my devotional material, and I read it daily, that I am saved from every evil thought, desire, intention, imagination, action, and word. Every sinful attitude has been forgiven by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that greatly encourages me. I am purified as I trust God that I am forgiven of all of my sins, including all of my immorality. And so it is, I receive the grace and the love of God, and I am helped to draw close to Him and love Him and obey Him and to walk in holiness. Now, I want to share something with you this morning that's rather personal. And at first, I thought about not sharing this with you, but the Lord has led me to share this with you. I have a very close loved one. In fact, my dear sister, who has departed from this world, Cindy died some years ago. And my sister Cindy, like the rest of our family members, got into sexual immorality. And she was very young, but she actually began to practice prostitution. I wrote a little tract about that, a little piece that you can find on our website about Cindy and how it is that the Lord led me to find her and to help her and to tell her about Jesus, to share the gospel, and then that my wife and I were able to take her to other Christians, and they helped her to come to know the Lord, and how it is that Cindy professed faith and repentance in Jesus and turned from sins of immorality, even from this sin of harlotry and prostitution. That was tied to her drug usage. She had become a drug addict, a heroin addict, and so she became a prostitute to purchase the drugs that she was addicted to and that she used daily, perhaps several times during the day. And so Cindy turned away from that. And to my knowledge, she never again practiced harlotry, though sadly she did use drugs again and overdosed and then passed out of this world. But we have a great and strong hope that Cindy really did come to Christ, that she had trusted Christ. And though the flesh is weak and she did use drugs again, that in God's marvelous plan for her, that she was saved and forgiven of all of her sin, all of her immoralities, all of her sorcery, that is her drug usage. And that when she died, the marvelous grace of God was such that she went to be with Jesus. You can learn more about Cindy's life, if the Lord might be leading you to do that, at our website. That's www.missionafricajk.net. And you'll find on the homepage there a column that lists our materials, and you'll see a listing for gospel tracts. I wrote a gospel tract about my sister's life. And so please click on gospel tracts at our website, and you can learn more about Cindy and about God's work in her life. And so I know that her life was not lived in vain. No life is lived in vain. And there are perhaps wonderful lessons and helps for some of you who are listening today. And so do avail yourself of that resource, the gospel tract Cindy, at our website, www.missionafricajk.net. And you'll see her struggle with prostitution and drug usage. And you'll also see more about the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a saving grace, a grace that changes us sinners, a grace that empowers us to break off our sins, and perhaps most of all, a grace that forgives our sins, that through which we are forgiven, completely forgiven through the precious, powerful blood of the Savior, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, let's continue this morning now and talk about how it is that we are helped and enabled to turn from the sins of immorality that we've been talking about here, as we find in our text. How is it, when so many times it seems the desire for immorality is so strong in our hearts, how is it that there is and can be found real victory and lasting, sustained victory? Well, simply at this point, I want us to look at verses in Hebrews chapter 12. And again, our great help in this is to once again see the truth about immorality. And when we see the truth, God, by his grace, by saving grace, will stir in our hearts a desire to turn from that which is so odious, so hated by God, so destructive to our own persons. And we find here in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 12, that the Word of God says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." And so, my friends, before us is godless Esau. He is a sensual man. That is, He is not a spiritual man. He is a fleshly man. His heart is captured and dominated by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Esau is not a believer, though his brother is a believer. Isaac is a believer. His son Jacob is a believer. But Esau is not a believer. And so Esau is described for us here in his sensuality as one who valued the food that he longed for more than the promised birthright, which also indicates that he valued food above the spiritual blessings of God. He is here described as a profane person. And he comes into a sorrow. There is a consequence for this shameful, sinful action of Esau. But his sin here, as a profane person, is likened to the sin of fornication. It says that, lest there be any fornicator or godless person like Esau. And so Esau was defiled by his sin. And Esau, a godless person, is linked with another type of godless person, the fornicator, who is also defiled and corrupted in his sin, as the profane Esau is, a sensual man. And so we see that the unbelieving, sensual, fleshly heart has in it a strong desire for immorality, for sinful lust, sinful pleasure, pleasure in unrighteousness, and therefore the person whose heart is like that acts on the desire of their heart, and they actually commit this great and grievous sin of fornication. Now, in seeing that, we begin to understand that sexual purity is possible for a believer. In fact, it is required of the believer. And let me mention the reality that many times for young Christians, for new believers who have come out of a lifestyle of immorality, that this is a difficult sin to overcome. It is one that they struggle with many times. There's also another deplorable condition in the church, and that is the condition of those who are not new believers, but who really believe in their heart of hearts that this is a small matter with God, that they can just easily commit immorality, and they practice immorality often with this real deception, this false conception that they can do so in the grace of God and it doesn't matter. You know, they just simply have to confess it, and then they're not intent upon breaking it off. It's not a reality in their heart that they even plan to. They simply are deceived and think that they can follow Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God, and still live in this abomination. Well, again, Paul deals with that clearly, that is not possible. The New Testament writers we've been reading declare that. In fact, the Old Testament writers, the fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so for those in both conditions in the church, those who simply struggle with immorality and those who are simply deceived and practice immorality, there is hope. There is a hope that we can be sexually pure and that we can maintain sexual purity, that we can enjoy a holy and pure marriage that is not defiled, that the lust of fire, the corruption of evil desire can be healed simply by the putting out of the fire of lust, and to use an expression, and so that we would enjoy purity with God and enjoy desires that are pleasing to Him for our spouse in marriage. And so we have great hope, my friends. Let me just share with you another personal note, and that is that, as I've mentioned before in these radio broadcasts, I was an immoral man before I was saved. My family background was one of immorality, and we received that as acceptable as children, and we didn't go to church. And I did know as a child and as a young person that it was wrong. I even knew that in my heart. There were shameful consequences. I felt shame in my heart if I committed sins of immorality. But nevertheless, I was able to persuade myself rather easily, and my friends were able to persuade themselves, and we all really thought pretty much that we could just sin like this and it was okay. It was good. There wasn't a real problem with it. That's how everyone lived anyway. And of course, we were not believers in God. And so when I committed immorality, rather with a free high hand, I suffered the consequence of my sin. And so when I came to Christ, I knew in my heart of hearts that this great evil that I practiced had to stop. I've shared with you before, too, that I was before a drunkard, and I knew when I was saved that my drunkenness must stop. And so I entered into this struggle to stop drinking and maintain sobriety. And I entered into this struggle to become sexually pure and maintain that sexual purity. And to be honest with you, as a young Christian with no real religious background, so to speak, with no real understanding of the Bible, I entered into a great struggle. But by the grace of God, I was able to continue in the struggle to resist temptation and sin, not perfectly. I did fall in both of these areas of my life. I'm sorry to say that today. During my first year or two or so of walking with the Lord, but soon after this time of struggle, and I grew stronger in my faith, and I began to see much longer times of victory. These sins began to occur much less frequently in my life. During the course of time, God brought me to meet my lovely wife today. We've been happily married for many, many years. And so God saw the reality of my love for Him. I was truly saved. He saw the reality of my struggle in these areas of my life. And soon the drinking stopped completely. And within just a few years, relatively few years, God brought me to meet my wife-to-be. And then we have enjoyed a holy and blessed marriage ever since. And so this great struggle with immorality in great part also ceased. And I have enjoyed the blessing of purity in my marriage ever since. And so let me just encourage you today. Perhaps, again, you're struggling in this area in your life. Or perhaps you really think that it doesn't matter if you commit these sins, that you're really still following Jesus. Let me encourage both of you. And let me encourage those of you who are maintaining purity in your life, perhaps with relative ease. Let me encourage all of you today that the standard for us and the will of God for us is purity. We are never to commit these sins. And so the standard that God sets, He will enable us to meet and to keep by the marvelous grace and the love of God. I can honestly share with you from my own heart today before the Lord and to you that God has given me grace to enjoy this kind of purity for many, many years, about 25, 26 years. And so, my friends, it is surely possible and it is the standard. And so we must receive the grace of God to do this. Now, in my own experience, this is how I can describe it. I like to describe it. Before I was saved, there was a burning lust and a desire for evil in my heart that I didn't always act on, but I often acted on. In other words, the evil desire, the immoral desire was in me. And many times I didn't try to restrain it. In fact, I caused it to increase, and then I would act on it. And then I would repeat that sinful habit, that activity over and over again. But when I was saved by the marvelous grace and the love of God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fire for lust was simply quenched. It was put out for the most part in my life. And so the Spirit came into me and the Word of God came into my heart of hearts, and I began to have great joy in the comforts and pleasure and presence of the Spirit and in receiving the truth of God. And the joy I had in God was greater than the painful pleasure I had in sinful immorality. And so I began to desire God in a much greater way than I began to desire immorality, you see. There is with God a real comfort, a real intimacy, a real satisfaction, a real enjoyment, a real blessing, a real turning from shamefulness and disgrace. There is acceptance and favor with God. And so I desired that from God. And that desire to please God and enjoy Him and His many blessings helped me in great part to turn away from evil desire. I had tasted the bitterness and consequence of my evil desire. I knew what that was. But when I tasted the goodness and love of God, knowing what that is, then I wanted to feed and banquet upon the love of God. It helped me to turn from sin. And so, my friends, the simple truth is that the love of God put out the fire of lust. And I must be honest with you today, the love of God puts out the fire of lust in such a way that we don't act on it and we seek to bring our sinful thinking into perfect alignment with the will of God. We take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, meaning simply that we turn from immoral thoughts when they arise in our hearts. And so the love of God puts out the fire, but the reality is that because we are still sinful, there are yet embers. There are coals of lust, the desire for lust that yet burn in our fallen nature. And so we are in constant need that the love of Jesus, it quenches the fire of lust, you see. And so what I learned many years ago is that as I daily came to Jesus in His Word and received His Word and His Spirit and was controlled by His Spirit and obeyed Him and enjoyed His fellowship and drew close to Him in His intimacy and holiness, that the embers, the coals of lust that yet remain in me would be kept down. If I failed to draw close to Jesus, many times the embers would fire up again, and I would have a much bigger struggle to not act on these fiery evil desires. And so the way that we keep the fire of lust and immorality down under control, and we won't be rid of that, by the way, until we go to be with the Lord. That evil desire remains in us, the fallen nature, until we depart from this world. And so we must be prepared to constantly fight it. In some of us, this conflict is much more easily accomplished. In others, it is with great difficulty that the fire of lust is kept down, that it doesn't consume us, burn us up, you see. But nevertheless, that's exactly what we must do. You must turn from immoral thoughts and desires, and you must put out the fire through the Word of God and by the actings of the Holy Spirit. Well, my friends, I see that our time is gone. We'll continue next time to talk about this aspect of how it is that we actually become sexually pure and maintain sexual purity. And I hope and pray and trust that this teaching is a blessing to you. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your awesome work of grace in the hearts of your people and so powerfully work in my listeners' hearts and enable them to turn from these sins of immorality and love you, Lord, and enjoy the pleasure to know how they may maintain their vessel in sanctification and holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.